Ephesians chapter 5. And our text for this morning is the verse 18. And Paul, addressing the believers at Ephesus, says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled." But be filled with the Spirit. We come now in our series to examine what is meant by being filled with the Spirit, or what is sometimes called the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Last week we considered the teaching of Scripture on the subject of being baptized with the Holy Spirit and found that it was a once for all experience which took place at the hour of our conversion. We discovered that being baptized with the Holy Spirit actually meant being baptized into the body of Christ. And Paul also, referring to the same experience, spoke about saints being baptized into Christ. I said then that some people believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit are one and the same thing. This, of course, as we pointed out last week, is not true. For we are never exhorted to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But here in our text we can see that Paul exhorts believers to be filled with the Spirit. There is not only some confusion surrounding this doctrine of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, but there is also in the part of some believers great caution exercised about this matter. I say that some believers exercise caution because they are perhaps afraid of being regarded as, say, charismatic, and so tend to ignore the doctrine of the fullness of the Holy Spirit altogether. Yes, the charismatics have indeed and put forth a greatly distorted view of this doctrine that then leads to a behavior which has no scriptural warrant or merit at all. But that is all the more reason why we then should study the Bible to discover what God has to say about this subject and this doctrine of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We just cannot avoid it. We just cannot ignore it. For Paul here says, be filled with the Spirit. And if we as Christians are exhorted to be filled with the Spirit, then it behoves every one of us who name the name of Christ to obey the Word of God and to be filled with the Spirit. Yes, there may be confusion surrounding this doctrine, and there may be caution exercised by some believers with regard to this doctrine, but I believe also that with regard to this doctrine, there is undoubtedly a carelessness on the part of believers. For you see, some Christians do not want to have anything to do with the fullness of the Holy Spirit because they feel it would cost them too much. Maybe we could change the word from being careless to being carnal. When the Word of God says, be filled with the Spirit, and some believers do not want to have anything to do with this doctrine and to do with this experience because it would cost them too much, that's carnal. And that is fleshly. For you see, they are content with a nominal Christian life. And to seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit would take them into a realm and into an area of Christian experience that they are not prepared to go. Yet here in this verse, we have the Holy Ghost-inspired word as penned by Paul, telling us, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, as we consider this doctrine, and indeed this Christian experience, may the Lord give us grace to see and to surrender to the teachings of Scripture on this subject, and also lead us to obey His command, be filled with the Spirit. And what I see in these words, in the words of our text, this command given by Paul, is, first of all, Paul is showing us that Christians require the fullness of the Spirit. Why else would Paul say, be filled with the Spirit? Why else would he deal with this particular subject? Is Paul not telling us here that as believers we are not filled with the Spirit and therefore we need to be filled with the Spirit? It is what is required of us as believers. This we can see when we consider the congregation that Paul was addressing. You see, I feel that there are some Christians who believe that the fullness of the Spirit, it is something that most certainly ministers and pastors and missionaries ought to seek after. We may have read, say, the life of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody, the great American evangelist, in his early days of evangelism, most certainly had great success in the salvation of souls. But one day he met two women who told Mr. Moody that they were praying for him. And they were praying that he would show more of the love of Christ in his preaching. And they were praying for him that he would know and experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And Moody took this to heart. And sometime after that, Moody indeed became a man, an instrument in the Lord's hand, who was full of the Holy Ghost. We all know the many thousands that Moody led to Christ through his preaching. And so the fullness of the Holy Spirit is not just for evangelists and ministers and pastors and missionaries and those involved directly involved in the work of God. Paul here was addressing a congregation. A congregation made up of believers from all walks of life. Look at the opening verse of the chapter of the book. The opening words of this letter. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints. Not to the evangelists or the ministers or the missionaries, to the saints, which are at Ephesus. All the saints, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Look at the first verse of chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Paul is speaking to all believers. Be ye followers of God. Is that not an exhortation to all the saints there in the church at Ephesus? Not just those who were involved in full-time work. And so we can see from these words that the fullness of the Holy Spirit is something that every believer requires and needs. For this exhortation is set within the context in which Paul goes on to speak of husbands and wives, of children, of parents, of servants and masters. That's the context in which we find these words. Be filled with the Spirit is not something merely for preaching or for serving the Lord only. It is for Christian living. This matter affects every true Christian, whether we are but a short time saved or we have been, on the other hand, traveling on the pilgrim pathway for many years. So Paul says, be ye filled with the Spirit. So we have these words directed to this whole congregation at Ephesus. And if Paul directed these words to all the believers at Ephesus, then we have here something else that is crucial in the life of the believer. It's crucial. As Christians, we all receive the gift of the Holy Ghost of our conversion. That was when the Holy Ghost took up residence within us and we became his temple. We've already learned that. But here the apostle exhorts believers to be filled with the Spirit. Here is something else. He didn't say be baptized with the Spirit. That has already taken place. He said be filled with the Spirit. Here is something that is crucial for Christian living. And the words appear in the same verse as those words, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The obvious meaning of the verse is that in contrast to a drunkard who is controlled by alcohol, a Christian should live his life under the control of the Holy Spirit. Be ye not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Your life, a man's life, may be controlled whenever he's intoxicated with wine or strong liquor. And we all have seen examples of that, how a person is absolutely controlled by the demon drink. Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. In other words, Paul was saying, if you are filled with the Spirit, your life will be controlled by the Spirit. You'll be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Is this not something, believer, that is crucial? When we once walked according to the ways of this world, the devil had the control of us. Is it not right and proper that now that we're under new ownership, we've been bought with a price, we are not our own, that we ought to be under the control of God and be filled with the Spirit? Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We once walked after the flesh, but now the Spirit of God dwells within. And Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, then you will walk after, not the things of the flesh, but after the things of the Spirit. That's how we'll walk, and that's how we will live. Romans 8 again, this time verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. It's a good gauge. Do we mind the things of the flesh? If we mind the things of the flesh, then we are not filled with the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. There's the life that is controlled by the Spirit of God. We do walk after the things of the Spirit. We do mind the things of the Spirit. And Paul said in the same chapter, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit, So what do we have? We walk after the things of the Spirit. We mind the things of the Spirit. We are led by the Spirit of God. Paul says, and when led by the Spirit of God, we are the sons of God. Now the word fulfilled in our text means to fill or to make full. And obviously Paul was addressing a people who were not full or filled with the Spirit, whose lives were not under the control of the Holy Ghost. And the idea here in this word is that of a habitual state. It could be seen in the life of Stephen. Acts 7 verse 55, and he being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfastly into heaven. That's how Stephen lived. He was habitually being filled with the Spirit. He lived this constant, consistent life in the Spirit. This is what we are exhorted to attend to by Paul, to live a life completely controlled by the Holy Spirit. The word filled is used in another context, but provides a very good illustration of the meaning of the word. You turn, please, to John 12. John chapter 12. Verse 2, and they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled. Same word. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. In other words, as the fragrance of Mary's ointment filled the house, so the influence of the Holy Spirit should fill every part of the believer's life. So the influence of the Holy Spirit should fill every part of the believer's life. As we've already read in those verses in Romans 8, a person who's filled with the Spirit will mind the things of the Spirit. Will be led by the Spirit and will long after the things of the Spirit. It's crucial for Christian living. It's crucial that we're filled with the Spirit for Christian labor. The New Testament speaks of a sudden infilling of Christians with divine power for service. This is where the power of the Holy Ghost comes from being filled with the Spirit. We need the infilling of the Holy Ghost for day-to-day living, as we have already noted. So we need the fullness of the Holy Spirit when it comes to laboring for the Lord. We need the power. In these cases, another word for filled is used, as in Acts 2 and verse 4. Acts 2 and 4, and they were filled. was the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. You see, the apostles had been commissioned. They had been given a work to do. They were to go into all the world and preach the gospel. They were to begin at Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and then the uttermost parts of the earth. Were they going to venture forth and carry out this great commission depending on the arm of flesh? If that was their idea, they wouldn't get any further than Jerusalem. No, they needed a greater power than the arm of flesh could give them. They needed the power of the Holy Ghost. They therefore needed the gift of languages to communicate the message of the gospel to people of different lands, as well as that they needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with power to carry out the Great Commission. The same word is employed in other places where the filling was for the same purpose. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel," and Peter preached the word. There he was, standing before all these dignitaries. There he was, facing them all. Rulers and elders and scribes, Annas and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest. There they all were, and Peter was standing before them. How was he going to preach the gospel to them? Depending on his own strength. Couldn't do it. He needed the power of God. He needed the power of God, and so we read then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them. Peter preached that day with power because he was a man filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. We want boldness when it comes to preaching the word of God. Then we need to be filled with the Spirit. We want power when it comes to delivering the word of God to the unsaved. Then we need to be filled with the Spirit. Acts chapter 13. Acts 13, verse 8. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, Will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Ah, you need power and you need boldness when you come to confront the enemies of the truth. And Paul had that boldness and Paul had that power. Why? Because he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And believer, that is what we need, and that's why Paul said to the believers, all of the believers in Ephesus, be filled with the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, that our lives may be under His control, and that we might know His power. You can see the double meaning of the word. We need the fullness of the Spirit to live aright. And when we have that, and when we are filled with the Spirit to live aright, we'll also know the power of the Spirit to labor aright. For God imparts power for His service to Christians who are living in submission to the influence and leading of the Holy Spirit. That man, that Christian, need not expect to experience the power of the Holy Ghost if that Christian's life is not under the control of the Holy Ghost. And he's led. And to be continuous. The words in our text, be filled with the Spirit, are in the present tense. And so what Paul is saying here is, be ye continually being filled with the Spirit. Be ye continually being filled with the Spirit. Here we have something that is in contrast to the baptism with the Holy Spirit, which is a once-only experience when we were baptized into the body of Christ, when we were baptized into Christ Himself. That's it. It's done. But here Paul is saying, be filled with the Spirit, be ye continually being filled with the Spirit. Here is something that we need to take place again and again and again and again. Once again, here is an area of great confusion. Because of the teaching of some who tell us that this fullness of the Spirit is a once-only experience. They refer to it as a second work of grace. Another name that it has been given is the second blessing. And I have heard believers asking others and say, have you received the second blessing yet? And what they mean is the fullness of the Holy Ghost, and it's only a second blessing, and that's it. And they remain full of the Holy Ghost from there on. They put down to a second work of grace, or a second blessing, this once for all full. Yet, we can see here from our text that Paul says that we are to be continually being filled. It is clear from Scripture that this infilling is not a once-for-all experience. This we can see from the life of Peter. Read there in Acts again, chapter 4. The apostle. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. So Peter's filled with the Holy Ghost. I turn to Galatians. Galatians 2. Galatians 2 and verse 11. Paul says, and when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to blame. Peter was wrong, and Paul withstood him to the face. Are you going to tell me that Peter was full of the Holy Ghost then? Paul had to withstand him to the faith because he was wrong, because he was to blame. No. He wasn't full of the Holy Ghost then. After what he had done, he needed to repent and he needed to seek a fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost.
What it means.
Continually being filled with the Spirit. Peter again and the apostles were filled in the day of Pentecost, Acts 2 and 4. Once again, Peter and the apostles were filled with the Holy Ghost again, Acts 4, verse 8. Peter and the apostles were then filled again, Acts 4, verse 30. What? See what the Scriptures teach. They were filled again, and then they were filled again, and then they were filled again, and they were filled again. Believer, that's what we need. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Christians receiving, Christians requiring fullness of the Spirit, Christians receiving the fullness of the Spirit. Paul has exhorted us to be filled with the Spirit, but we say, well, how may I be filled with the Spirit? This fullness of the Spirit may be obtained, one, through our praying to the Lord. And we remember the words of the Lord Jesus. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit
to them that ask?
Want to know the fullness of the Spirit of God in your life, believer? Then pray for it. The Lord has told us all we have to do is ask. Here the Lord teaches us that the Holy Spirit is given to us if we ask in prayer. In fact, more often than not in the New Testament, the fullness of the Holy Spirit is always associated with prayer. Always associated with prayer. You know, the Lord Jesus,
That is baptism.
Dead.
He was praying, and the heavens opened, and the Spirit of God descended, rested upon him.
And then we read, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. See, there's prayer and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. What were the apostles doing in the upper room leading up to the day of Pentecost? Why, they were praying? As we've already noted, Acts 2 and verse 4, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And again, we read in Acts 4, verse 31, the verse we've already considered, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So that is how we can know this infilling of the Spirit of God, by seeking the fullness of the Spirit through prayer. Praying, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. To know the fullness of the Spirit, not only by our praying to the Lord, but also by the presentation of our lives. We are to know the fullness of the Spirit, then we must be prepared to have our lives controlled by Him. We've already noted that. We must be prepared to present our lives to the Lord. That's what we said in our opening remarks, that some believers do not want to pursue the fullness of the Spirit because they know it would cost them too much. They're not prepared to surrender their lives and live a life of complete submission to the Lord and His will and His Word. Not prepared to do that. Rather have one foot in the world. Want to live as close to the world as they can, as if they were you, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. They will have it all changed, and they're not prepared for it. I tell you, that's the truth. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Is your reasonable service. Paul, in the verses following our text, mentions every sphere of life. Church, home, marriage, parent-child relationships, business, employer-employee relationships, and the whole area of spiritual warfare. Better presenting to the Lord our all. To Him our life. And our life and under His control. Control of the Holy Ghost. That's when we will know. Praying to the Lord, the presentation of our lives, and purity of living. Lord's not going to fill an unclean vessel.
The Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost. And we want to know the fullness of the Spirit. This involves the putting out of our lives anything that is inconsistent with the character of the Holy Ghost. And it means bringing into our lives anything that is consistent with His character, the character of the Holy Ghost. And His character is revealed to us by His name. He's the Spirit of love. We need to have the Spirit of love in our hearts.
Spirit of love for one another. Christ loved us. So we are to love one another.
He's the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of holiness. He's the Spirit of Christ. He's the Spirit of God. And how can any Christian expect to be filled with the Holy Spirit if he doesn't strive after a holy life? The Christian who gives his life to the control of the Spirit will strive for holiness and purity of life. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Time is gone, finally, just a few points. Christians and the results of the fullness of the flesh. What is the result? So look at our text again. And I feel that it is most interesting. What word follows? But be filled with the Spirit. The next word in the same sentence is speaking. In this occasion it is speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Other words we can see here, the heart, the soul is filled with joy. That's the result of the fullness of the Spirit. Child of God will have the joy of the Lord in their heart. I want to emphasize the fact that Paul said, but be filled with the Spirit speaking. Because when you go through the references to those who were filled with the Spirit, that's what followed on from the fullness. Acts 2 verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues or languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. Sometimes we wonder, why can I not speak for the Lord? If we are filled with the Spirit will give us utterance. We'll speak. The natural outcome of being filled with the Spirit of God will begin to witness for the Lord. Acts 4 verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said, there's it again, unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. My, it changed times for Peter. Peter was once afraid of those places of power and authority, so much so that he was willing to deny his Lord with oaths and curses. Things have changed. Now he's full of the Holy Ghost, and he said unto them, Acts 4 verse 31, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spake. There's it again. The Word of God with boldness. And after his conversion, Saul of Tarsus was filled with the Holy Ghost, and then we read, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. Acts 9 verses 17. See what comes, the fruit of the Spirit, if you like. Isn't that part of the ministry of the Spirit of God? The Lord Jesus said, he shall testify of me. He shall glorify me. And when Paul was full of the Holy Ghost,
he preached Christ. Want to preach Christ, want to make much of Christ in our life. Need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We'll be enabled to work with. When we have the fullness of the Holy Spirit, we'll be engaged in warfare. For on the day of Pentecost, when the apostles were full of the Holy Ghost, what did the people do? They came around and they mocked them and said, "These men are full of new wine." They mocked them. If they hadn't been filled with the Holy Ghost, they wouldn't have mocked them. Acts 4, the apostles were put in prison and beaten and told not to preach the gospel. Why? Because they had preached the word of God with boldness. But they were full of the Holy Ghost. They were well prepared for the warfare. Oh, believer, we need both of them. Be ye not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled. That's not something we can either take it or leave it. That's something we all must have. And there's no telling what God will do for the people who have themselves. That's our heaven. Eternal Father and loving God, thank thee for the third person of the Trinity. Thank thee, Lord, that when we know his fullness, Lord, we hardly know what we're capable of doing and accomplishing in our life. Lord, write the word in our hearts today. Encourage us, Lord, by thy grace. Yea, encourage us by thy Spirit. Take us fullness for living and for laboring for you. Lord, bless us this day. May we meditate upon the word. Lord, in thy will, return us tonight again to worship thee. Lord, to hear about the Lord and what he has done for us. Grant us all, Lord, traveling mercy, those especially of us a little further to go. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever. Amen.